The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then she leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, she sent her servants to the tenants to collect her produce. But the tenants seized her servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Then she sent other servants more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, she sent her son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill the heir and get the inheritance.' So they seized the landowner's son, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will she do to these tenants?" They said to Jesus, "She will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give her the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that Jesus was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, here we are again. Just 2 weeks ago, we were faced with the landowner of a vineyard. But this time, our landowner isn't dealing with whiny workers worrying about who's going to receive the daily wage. Well, this time, I think her problems are a lot worse. She's got some real troublesome, treacherous tenants who not only refuse to give her the produce, the harvest that she is entitled to, that she has entrusted them with, she also has had her servants and her own son brutally murdered. Now, the typical interpretation of today's gospel, it tends to be an allegorical interpretation. The landowner is traditionally God, the creator and giver of all things. The vineyard is what we hear in Isaiah earlier, our first reading of the day, and the Psalm 80. The vineyard is the people of Israel. And the servants that the landowner sends, those are prophets. And the prophets and the correlation with the servants of today's parable actually has some historical basis, because we know that the prophet Jeremiah was beaten, and the prophet Zechariah, he was stoned by opposition. And of course, the landowner's son, well, you don't need me to interpret that for you, typically is understood as Jesus. The son in today's parable, there's some similarities between how the son in the parable is killed as Jesus is killed. The son is taken out of the vineyard, thrown out of the vineyard, we hear, and then killed. In a similar way, Jesus is taken out, thrown out of the holy city, Jerusalem, where he is killed outside the city walls. Now, some of us, many of us, might be thinking, well, there goes Jesus again, sticking it to those Pharisees, zinging those chief priests. I know I've heard many of my own parishioners make similar comments when Jesus says this parable, and it really kind of perturbs the Pharisees and irks those elders and chief priests. And so, you know, we might think, ha, 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 as we gleefully rub our hands together, there goes, you go, Jesus, you get those people. Because, of course, we hear this and we're at the elbows of Jesus. But really, who was Jesus addressing this parable to? We know that he spoke to the Pharisees and the chief priests, the religious leaders of his day. And if we believed that Holy Scripture was just dead letters on a page, this would be a nice story. But we don't believe that Scripture is just dead letters on a page. We know that from the author of the letter to the Hebrews, that the Word of God is alive and active. So Jesus tells this parable not only to the religious leaders of his day, but to the religious leaders of all days. The religious leaders of our own church, who so often have been sent servants from the heavenly vineyard planter, who are shunted away, excommunicated, whose words fall on deaf ears, and who are then thrown out of the vineyard, who are told, no, your ministry isn't worthwhile. No, liberation theology is not what I want to hear. No, women in ministry is not what we want. Jesus speaks these words to the religious leaders of our own church, the religious leaders even of our own community and of our own parish. Have you served on a leadership committee in your parish or in your religious community? Well, you are also a religious leader. Have you exercised the ministry in your church, being a lector, a Eucharistic minister, a music minister, parish council member? You are a religious leader. And so Jesus addresses this parable to religious leaders like you and me. Well, this no longer is the fun, zinging parable that it once was, is it? Now, we might be able to excuse ourselves by saying, well, we're not like the tenants of this parable. We don't kill anyone. And that very well may be true. We don't literally kill anyone. But who is it that we kill metaphorically, allegorically? Who is it that God might be sending into our lives with a message that we don't want to hear? Do we turn away from the sight of poverty in the news, on the television, or even within our own pews and community? Do we turn away because we don't want to deal with it? It's not our problem. Do we metaphorically kill those who are looking for assistance with health care, immigration status, acceptance because of their gender, their age, their physical abilities or limitations, their sexual orientation? Do we even kill that clear, sweet-sounding voice that God implanted deep in our souls? Do we try and drown it out with the noise of busyness of the world and internet? And worse, do we try and silence it and smother it with alcohol and drugs? Seems that we might actually have a little more in common with these troublesome tenants than we'd really like to admit. Because at the root of the problem is that these tenants, they reneged on a deal they had agreed with the landowner. They welched on their agreement. The landowner had entrusted them to her vineyard, and all she asked was that they bring her the harvest, the produce. Like Adam and Eve, they wanted everything. Everything in that vineyard They wanted even the vineyard itself. They were going to take over the role of the landowner. Like Adam and Eve, who wanted to take the role of God as their own. How often do we often take the role of God in our own lives? That suddenly things aren't a ministry that we do for God and God's kingdom. But it becomes my ministry. This is my project. My preaching project. My parish council ministry. My lector ministry. My issues that I want to get through and push through at my parish and my community. Rather than something that I work and produce and I harvest and give to God, that together, God and I, we can go to the wine press where God will make the most exquisite, exquisite wine, where there will be celebration. It seems in this parable that the landowner is foolish or cold or just downright stupid to keep sending servants after servants. Doesn't she realize that they're all going to get killed and then she sends her son? Does she not care? Does God not care? Of course. Of course. God weeps. Weeps with those who are killed by people in power or by people with taking over with violence, violence of spirit. God weeps. And yet God is also willing to look foolish in the eyes of humanity, because God keeps inviting. Come, 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 give me your produce. Let's produce this exquisite wine of celebration together. God keeps sending people into our lives, and God keeps sending the Son whom we will receive in exquisite wine, turned into the precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is calling us, perhaps, to be servants, to be sent, to speak boldly in God's name. Will we go? This parable, Jesus says, what will the landowner do to those tenants? What will the landowner do to us as tenants? What needs to be done? What ought to be done? What shall be done so that the landowner will say to each and every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant.